This is episode 8 of Ask the Pastor. I'm your host, Nick Drake. I'm the pastor of Richland Baptist Church in Kingdom City, Missouri. Before I get to today's question that was asked, has been asked to me several times, not just recently, but really since I've been here as the pastor for the past 5 years, I want to ask a question to you, just something to think about. What is the best translation of the Bible? I like what one pastor said one time, the best translation of the Bible is the one you will read. Now, I think there's probably some exceptions to that, perhaps some translations you should, or maybe paraphrases that you should stay away from. But for the most part, I agree with that, because the reality is that there are several good English translations of the Bible. So really, read the Word of God and heed the Word of God. That's my encouragement to you as we get ready to look at this week's question, which is, why do you use the Holman Christian Standard Bible? That's the translation that I preach from on Sunday mornings. And Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, that is the translation of that I prefer to use. So we're gonna kind of address that a little bit here today with this podcast, or with this Ask the Pastor question. And of course, we talk about this on Wednesday evening in our Bible study, this day being May 9th, 2018. So, you know, there's obviously many translations of the Bible that are available today, and I praise God for that, because I've read several of them, and I'm actually reading a different translation in my morning devotions right now. Essentially, you know, teams that translate the Bible into English, or any translation, really can take two approaches when looking at the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament. That's the original language of the Scriptures. So they can take a word-for-word approach, kind of trying to be as word-for-word as wooden as possible, and that's called formal equivalence. And then they can also take more of a thought-for-thought approach, or a concept approach, and that's typically called dynamic equivalence. So there's actually kind of a third approach that's a little more recent in translation, and that's more of a paraphrase. Paraphrases like the Message and the Living Bible. And that's where I say I would caution you, not necessarily that you should never read those, but read a translation along with those, because those are not translations of the original language. Those are simply paraphrases, and they're obviously not nearly as accurate, and they can miss some important things. So I would encourage you not to simply read the Message Bible, for example. So, you know, I ask people often, what is your preferred translation? Well, I have chosen the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and there's a couple reasons that I've prefer that translation personally. But before I get to that, I want to read a couple passages of Scripture from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And really, there are several translations you could read these passages from and obviously get the same overall impact and effect. But I want to read in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So you think about that. What is that talking about? What is Paul talking about in that passage? Of course, he's talking about the Old Testament Hebrew Scriptures, which is what Paul had as his Bible, what the New Testament church had as their Bible when Paul was writing these letters and others were writing the Gospels that we now have in our New Testament Scriptures. But of course, we would apply that same understanding now to the New Testament Scriptures, knowing that it's all inspired by God, and we believe that it is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we believe the Word of God is important, very important. And we could look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. It says, first of all, you should know this, no prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, moved by the Holy Spirit, men spoke from God. Now, both of these passages of scriptures, I think it's very important to understand, these are referring to the original Hebrew and part of Daniel's Aramaic, the Hebrew and Aramaic Old Testament Scriptures and the Greek New Testament Scriptures. So the English translations that we have, which many of them are very good, are translations. They're just that, they're translations. So we know that originally the meaning comes back to the original text, and that's important. But the reason I like the Holman Christian Standard Bible, really two overarching reasons, two primary reasons. One would be the accuracy. I do believe, and I'm not an expert, I'm not a translator, I'm not a scholar, so I'm basing this largely on what I hear from other scholars that I trust. But the Holman Christian Standard Bible is an accurate translation. It's a very good translation to the very original Hebrew and Greek manuscripts of the Old and New Testaments. So the accuracy is very important to me, but also the readability. It's written at a fifth grade reading level, whereas the, you know, for example, the New American Standard Bible, which I also believe is a very accurate and good translation, though not quite as new, it uses more of the older language, things that maybe we wouldn't say as much today, and is a little bit more difficult to read. It's an 11th grade reading level. And you think, well, I'm in high school, I can read 11th, or I've graduated high school. But you'd be surprised, the average reader today struggles with an 11th grade reading level, and especially when you're reading it publicly in a church setting, in a public worship setting. I prefer to use a more readable translation and talk in language that we talk in today without losing the meaning of the original scriptures. So that's an important issue for me. Those are kind of the two main reasons. You might say, as I'm recording this, it's 2018. Wait a second, what's going on here? Why am I not using the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible, which is really the updated version of the Holman Christian Standard Bible? Now, I'll admit partly the reason for this is familiarity and you know, some little preferences. I will say I am reading the Christian Standard Bible right now in my personal devotions. So I don't avoid that translation by any means. But, you know, there's little things like I like the capital pronouns, the big H and he for God, and which isn't a big deal, just a personal preference. It's just I'm used to it. But really, one of the main reasons that I prefer the Holman Christian Standard Bible is I do believe the updated version of the CSB made a big mistake when they stopped using the slave language that we see in the New Testament. For example, in James 1, verse 1, when James says, James, a slave of Jesus Christ, that's a powerful statement that James is making, the half-brother of Jesus, the pastor of the church, an elder of the church in Jerusalem, and he identifies himself as a slave of Jesus Christ, the ultimate humble statement of himself before the Lord. And of course, the CSB went back to the word servant because they felt it was less offensive. But I believe that's an important issue in understanding just what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a slave of Jesus Christ. And I'll get more into that in a little bit here as we look at some things, because what I want to do is I kind of answer this question a little bit more fully, as I love Robbie Gallaty's explanation of this as well. So I'm going to use some of his points as he talked about. This was a few years ago. He talked about why he uses the Holman Christian Standard Bible, and I don't know if he still uses it today or if he's switched to the CSB. But one of the things he says is it's a translation from the original language and not a revision of a former translation. So there are translations like the ESV, for example, the English Standard Version, which I believe is also a great translation of the Bible. But that's it's a revision of the RSV, the Revised Standard Version, which was updated many years ago as the NRSV. So it's not truly a translation from the original text. Another reason that he gives is it uses, the Holman Christian Standard Bible uses the personal name of God. I've waffled back and forth on this, and what I mean by the personal name of God is in the Old Testament, Yahweh. A lot of translations will distinguish God's name from this title, Lord, by capitalizing all letters, L-O-R-D, Lord, and that's when you know it's talking about Yahweh, God using his personal name. I like that the Holman Christian Standard Bible uses Yahweh. The CSB went back to Lord because more people recognize that, and I can't argue with that, but I do like that it makes it more personal of the name of God according to the Hebrew Scriptures. So, for example, in Isaiah 42:8, the Holman Christian Standard Bible says, I am Yahweh, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Whereas both translations like the NIV or the ESV, they would say, I am the Lord. The HCSB says, I am Yahweh. Another thing that Robbie Gowdy mentions is Messiah is used in place of Christ. So he makes the point that, you know, Christ is a title. It's not part of Jesus' name. It's his title. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. Well, sometimes that confuses people, and they assume that Christ is Jesus' last name. So when he says, no, he is Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One. So, for example, in Luke 3:15, now the people were waiting expectantly, and all of them were debating in their minds whether John might be the Messiah. Whereas other translations would say whether John might be the Christ. So I think it gives a little bit more understanding of what that means. We know, I think, generally speaking, when we read through the scriptures, we understand Messiah being the promised anointed one of the Old Testament prophets. And here we have that explanation. It also removes archaic words. And I alluded to this earlier when I was talking about the way we use language, but it removes some of those archaic words. Words like behold. You know, how often do you say, behold, here I am? No, it's look. So it replaces things like that. Or even words like blessed, which, you know, we know what blessed means, but how often do you say, I'm so blessed today? No, I'm so happy. You know, how happy is the man who delights himself in the Lord? So I think things like that, it's easier when we memorize scripture. And when we share scripture with those around us, I prefer to use language that doesn't neglect or doesn't change the meaning of the text, but it makes it in a way that is more understandable to the audience of today. Another thing is the use of, when we talk about the use of that word slave in place of servant, this is important to me, and this is why I'm sticking with the HCSB as long as I can, because slave and servant have very different meanings. A servant had privileges and rights separate and apart from his or her master. A slave, on the other hand, had no rights at all. So that's a powerful statement to say, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. Yes, I am also a servant of Jesus Christ, but ultimately I am a slave of Jesus Christ. And that's huge to me. And it's what the New Testament word doulos means in Greek when it refers to that in Paul's letters and in other places. And there are other issues, and for the sake of time, I want to be quick on this. The HCSB is not just a Baptist translation. There were 17 Protestant denominations that were involved in the translation process for the HCSB, and even more in the CSB, I might add. The Old Testament scriptures in the New Testament in the HCSB are in bold letters, so it's easy for reference when you see, oh, this was a prophecy from the Old Testament, you know. For example, in Romans 3:10, when it's quoting the psalm from the Old Testament, it's in bold letters. So you know, oh, this is somewhere in the Old Testament. I can find that easier. So I just want to encourage you, if you're thinking about translations, maybe you're stuck on a translation, I encourage you to read multiple translations. Spend a year reading through your Bible in one translation, then next year try another one, or maybe have a couple side by side as you do your personal devotions, and realize that there's a lot of great translations out there, but most importantly, spend time in the Word of God, seek to hear the Word of God, and apply the Word of God to your life by obeying the Word of God. Thanks for listening to Ask the Pastor.